This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another rule change from the Pentagon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, July the 1st. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter says effective immediately, there's no longer a ban on transgender service members. In addition, the military will cover things like hormone therapy and breast implants.
A Tesla vehicle in self-driving mode has been involved in a fatal crash in Florida. Find out what went wrong.
Donald Trump says he's not flip-flopping on certain issues. He's being more specific. Hear how in about 10 minutes.
And the doctor who says the Rio Olympics should be moved or canceled due to the Zika virus.
The Zika virus has become a big issue in the country of Brazil. It has not been under control despite the mobilization of the majority of the Brazilian military. As a matter of fact, the biggest military mobilization in the history of the country has been to fight a mosquito and not any other foreign invader.
Dr. Joe Alton is author of The Zika Virus Handbook. He's here in about 25 minutes. You'll probably notice more security if you're traveling by plane or train this holiday weekend. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson told the Senate Judiciary hearing yesterday that in addition to federal efforts, several airports throughout the country have said they are beefing up security in the wake of the attack in Istanbul.
The American public should expect to see this July 4th weekend an enhanced security presence at airports, train stations, and other transit centers across the country.
By the way, Turkish media today is reporting that an additional 11 people have been detained in connection with Tuesday's deadly terror attack at the Istanbul airport. LAX says it's expecting a record number of travelers, and they have more canine units, police personnel, and traffic enforcement units in place. Security you might not see, however, the Viper teams deployed by the TSA. These are behavior detection officers, explosives experts, and air marshals, created partly in response to a series of high-profile foreign train attacks in the early 2000s. They often work special events that need extra security to deter acts of terrorism. Well, quite the cultural change taking place in the U.S. military. Defense Secretary Ash Carter yesterday got rid of the American military's ban on transgender service members and instructed the American Armed Forces to provide medical services for soldiers undergoing gender transitions. This comes on the heels of ending a ban on women serving in certain combat roles and scrapping the don't ask, don't tell policy that prevented gay and lesbian soldiers from serving openly.
In taking these steps, we're eliminating policies that can result in transgender members being treated differently from their peers based solely upon their gender identity, rather than upon their ability to serve.
American service members will no longer face the risk of being discharged or denied reenlistment for being transgender. As part of the newest policy, by the way, our tax dollars will cover the cost of treatment that military doctors deem medically necessary for transgender individuals, including cross-sex hormone treatment and reassignment surgery. Defense officials said cosmetic surgery, such as breast implants, could also be covered, again, if deemed medically necessary by a doctor. Changing gears, we have our first reported fatality in a wreck involving a car in self-driving mode. The government said it is investigating the design and performance of the system aboard the Tesla Model S sedan. A report says Joshua Brown, a 40-year-old man from Canton, Ohio, died in May in Williston, Florida, when his car's cameras failed to distinguish the white side of a turning tractor trailer from a brightly lit sky and didn't automatically activate its brakes. He was killed at the scene when his roof was sheared off as he hit the underside of the truck. Christopher Hart is chair of the National Transportation Safety Board and still believes in the safety potential of driverless cars.
Driverless cars could save many, if not most, of the 32,000 lives that are lost every year on our streets and highways.
Tesla says that before autopilot's feature can be used, drivers have to acknowledge that the system is an assist feature that requires drivers to keep both hands on the wheel at all times and be prepared to take over at any time. Autopilot gives visual and audible alerts if hands are not detected, and it gradually slows the car until a driver responds. The company said this was the first known death in over 130 million miles of autopilot operation. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Glad you're with us. Good Friday to you. In the 2 months since he clinched the Republican presidential nomination, Donald Trump has blurred his positions on some key issues and tactics. He says he's not flip-flopping or changing positions. Instead, he told Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt that he's getting more specific. Beth, take us through this.
Well, this is pretty typical that you see candidates take certain positions in the primary where they are going after their political base, and for Republicans, those are conservatives. And then you frequently see, once a candidate gets the party's nomination, a little bit of moderation. They're now trying to appeal to a wider audience. They're trying to get more moderate voters, and you're starting to see Donald Trump do a little bit of that. Now, it's not anywhere near as dramatic as some of his allies have been promising for weeks. Oh, you're going to see this big pivot. He's going to be, much more presidential. Well, he remains a pretty, at his rallies, he's still very much a firebrand. But, he is using teleprompters now. He started walking back the temporary ban he proposed back in December to keep Muslims out of the country, so you're just seeing slight changes in the issues that he's talking about and the way he's campaigning.
All right, so how has he adjusted the comment about I think it was banning Muslims temporarily or something like that?
Right. So he announced that proposal in December. After the terrorist attacks in San Bernardino, it was very controversial. Top Republicans, pretty much across the board, denounced it, saying you can't, discriminate against someone based on their religion, not let them into the country. But Trump stuck with it, and exit polls showed that it was very popular with primary voters. So it was definitely part of his success in the primary. In about mid-May, he started kind of softening on the Muslim ban. And then the last couple times he's addressed national security, he's talked about blocking immigration from countries that have a record of terrorism against the U.S. And that language just seems to be replacing the language on the Muslim ban. Now, the campaign has been loath to characterize this as a flip-flop or as a change or a shift. But in fact, it is a shift.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt. Her piece is called Donald Trump Adjusts Some of His Positions. What about building the wall in Mexico? Has that one changed?
Just as sturdy as the wall would be under Donald Trump's plan, that has not moved. That's one thing he's been very consistent about. He still talks about the wall. He still talks about making Mexico pay for it.
And then how about you mentioned minimum wage, tax cuts for the wealthy. What about those issues? Any changes, adjustments?
Yeah, he in the primary said he opposed a minimum wage increase, which is a standard Republican position. More recently, he has said that he thinks there does need to be an increase, so he says he wants to see it on the state level. On taxes, he had originally favored tax cuts for the rich. He has said, I'm flexible on that. So it just seems to be, it seems to be difficult to pin Donald Trump down on a lot of these issues. And some of his friends say that's because he's a negotiator at heart. He just sees, he sees issues as negotiating points.
Right.
But I think you're going to hear from the Clinton campaign, you know, this is a guy you can't trust. You don't know where he stands. He's all over the place on issues. That's going to be part of the conversation.
Thanks, Beth. Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt. It is 24 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Jordan, Turkish police have detained 11 foreigners suspected of being members of an Islamic State cell in Istanbul linked to the suicide bombers who staged the attack this week at Istanbul's main airport. The arrests in the Dawn raid brought the number of people detained in the investigation to 24. The Obama administration is considering a plan to coordinate strikes against terrorist groups in Syria with Russia if Moscow agrees to use its leverage with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to stop bombing U.S.-backed rebels. Under the proposed plan, the U.S. military and Russian Air Force would expand joint airstrikes against an al-Qaeda-linked group that's primarily fighting regime forces. The leading causes of death remain the same. Heart disease is the number one killer, followed by cancer. Next on the CDC's list, chronic respiratory diseases, car accidents and drug overdoses, stroke, Alzheimer's and diabetes. There is good news among the CDC's grim statistics. Death and infant mortality rates have hit a record low. Intense thunderstorms pounded the Las Vegas area yesterday with golf ball sized hail, gusty winds, destructive lightning and sheets of rain that swamped busy intersections and left at least one person hospitalized after she was plucked from a flooded wash. Pedestrian Kevin Ewing was in the area.
We were taking a walk, started to get a little dark. We knew it was going to start raining. So we started heading home. We didn't know it was going to start hailing. It got serious really quickly.
Flights were diverted from McCarran International and rerouted to California and Arizona. And the next version of Google's Android software has been dubbed Nougat, extending the tech company's tradition of nicknaming each overhaul of Android after a sweet food. Nougat will be released in new smartphones this fall and will provide the ability to run apps without actually installing them on a device. Nicknames for earlier Android versions have included Marshmallow, Lollipop, Kit Kat, Ice Cream Sandwich, and Gingerbread.
Sugar rushes all.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Jen. 26 minutes now after the hour. It's time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Come as a guest, leave as a friend at Lexington Inns and Hotels. We'll treat you to exceptional service and a hometown touch. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. If you plan to spend part of your Independence Day weekend shopping for a new car, you may be struggling with the reality that the new vehicles seem unaffordable. You're not wrong. A new study by Bankrate.com found that a median income household cannot afford the average priced new car or light truck in any of the 50 largest U.S. cities. Steve Pounds is a personal finance analyst at Bankrate. Steve, what'd you look at?
Well, we broke down. Well, first we looked at the 20-40-10 rule, which is that you usually put down a down payment of at least 20%. Financing lasting 4 years, and principal, interest, and insurance not exceeding 10% of a household's gross income. And then we looked at the 50 most populous cities in the U.S.
All right,
and
so,
calculated their monthly median income.
All right, so the issue here of unaffordability is attached to what, Steve?
Well, it has to do with, I think, the fact that people are buying cars that are far too expensive for their income. And there's a few reasons for that. The 48-month car loan is probably too short for many people, even at today's low rates. Cars have gotten more expensive because they've become more complex and they last longer. And 10% down payment may not be enough.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking, you mentioned it too, the cars have become more expensive. That's largely, I guess, because of safety or technology upgrades and stuff.
That's exactly right. You even have cars that will that can avoid a crash.
Right. So where are they most expensive and or least affordable or most affordable?
The city where household incomes can afford to purchase a car is San Jose, San Francisco, Seattle, D.C., and San Diego. And the metro areas that are least affordable are Detroit, Rochester, Cleveland, Hartford, Connecticut, and Buffalo.
So is there a larger solution here, or is there, I guess, a vision where these numbers might reverse?
You know, actually, I think the takeaway would be that there are a lot of options for car buyers now. You don't have to take a 48-month loan. You can go for a 60-month loan or even a 72-month loan. You can take that payment, make that payment lower by stretching out the car loan. Or you could buy a used car, a certified pre-owned car, which has been certified by either the dealer or the manufacturer, is a pretty good deal, and you get a warranty with it.
Doesn't seem like, it makes personal financial sense necessarily to stretch out those car payments unless your loan rate is really cheap, I guess, right?
Even if the loan rate is cheap, cars have gotten much more expensive. I mean, the national average in our study was provided by Kelley Blue Book, and it's almost $34,000.
Wow.
Now, yeah. So, I mean, think about it when you bought maybe your first car and how much more it is today than it was then.
Right. Thanks, Steve. Steve Pounds, personal finance analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? When you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, July the 1st. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A Tesla vehicle in autopilot has been involved in a fatal wreck. A federal judge is blocking new restrictions on Florida abortion providers. The Daily Caller says the Obama administration has filed a motion to keep Clinton Foundation emails hidden until late 2018. The Pentagon will pay for breast implants for transgender soldiers. The Wall Street Journal says Apple is in talks to buy Jay-Z's streaming service called Tidal. Coastal Carolina wins the College World Series. Mike Tirico leaves ESPN after 25 years. He joins NBC Sports today. And how competitors prepare for Monday's hot dog eating contest. That story in about 20 minutes. The opening ceremony for the Summer Olympics in Brazil will take place 35 days from now in Rio de Janeiro. For months, you've heard reports about Rio's dirty water, mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus, plus transportation and security issues. The Zika virus is why some top athletes like Jason Day and Rory McIlroy in golf have chosen not to compete in Brazil. It's also why a doctor and author named Joe Alton says Olympics officials should either cancel or relocate the 2016 games. Joe, explain.
I'll tell you that the Zika virus has become a big issue in the country of Brazil. It has not been under control despite the mobilization of the majority of the Brazilian military. As a matter of fact, the biggest military mobilization in the history of the country has been to fight a mosquito and not any other foreign invader. But it's not just that, too. You know, Brazil has had a really, really bad week. It's out of control from an economic standpoint, from a political standpoint. The president's been impeached. The half of the Senate is under investigation for corruption. And there's a huge recession in the country, a rising deficit. And since Brazil depends so much on oil, falling oil prices are definitely not helping.
Yeah. At this point, logistically, though, it'd be impossible to move them or relocate them, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, it wouldn't be easy. Calling off the Olympics would mean stopping a lot of construction that's already in the midst of being done, canceling a lot of contracts, refunding ticket sales. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but the alternative is, well, let me ask you this question. Is it worth sending 500,000 tourists to ground zero of a raging epidemic just for a sporting event?
Right. And as you say, too, the Zika virus in Brazil is acting differently than it has elsewhere. Explain that.
Well, I believe that what's happening in Brazil, a lot of other scientists are coming around to this, is a mutation from the original Zika strain that was found in Africa in the Zika forest in Uganda back in 1947. And it seems to have changed somewhere in French Polynesia as it was making its way to the New World, to the Western Hemisphere. And they did find some babies with microcephaly, a birth defect that causes abnormal brain development in Polynesia, and now they're finding lots of cases of that in the country of Brazil and some other countries, including three babies that have been born with microcephaly in the U.S. from people that have traveled from elsewhere.
We're speaking with Dr. Joe Alton. We're talking about why this year's Olympics should be moved or canceled, in his opinion. His book is called The Zika Virus Handbook. How concerned should we be here in the U.S.? Because we hear a lot about Brazil, obviously, in South America. What about the U.S.?
Well, you know, I think we're going to have a few cases that are indeed locally transmitted. I think maybe clusters of cases that are going to be in warm weather states like Florida, like Texas, perhaps. But I don't believe we're going to reach this point of community-wide outbreaks or anything that's going to reach epidemic status. We have to remember that we are protected. We're very lucky. We're a rich country. We're protected by better housing, by the widespread availability of air conditioning. And we have disposable income to buy things like mosquito repellents, which would be considered a luxury in the slums of Rio de Janeiro.
All right. So, as you point out, world wars have canceled Olympics before, but never a public health threat.
I just wanted to say one thing about that. Indeed, I did. I did a little more research after I wrote that article, and I found out that in 2003, the Women's World Cup of soccer was moved from China to the U.S. due to the SARS epidemic. So there is now actually an instance in which a major sporting event has been moved.
Thanks, Joe. Dr. Joe Alton. Again, the book is called The Zika Virus Handbook. It is 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business. Like 10, being in the top 10 states for lowest corporate business income tax. Or 2,000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more. Glad you're with us. Good Friday morning. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online in the past few days. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Good morning, Nina. Start with Istanbul.
That's right. Good morning. Starting with Istanbul, you know, another week, another kind of global incident making news. Three men, they carried out this deadly attack on Tuesday at an airport in Istanbul. They killed more than 40 people. And so people were coming to Google for the latest updates on the investigation, people wanting to know, you know, where is Istanbul? Is Istanbul Airport open? You know, all of those questions swirling around it, wanting to kind of get some clarity on the situation and also the geography.
Yeah. All right. So what else? Wimbledon, too, with Nike.
Wimbledon trending, but not for the reasons you might expect. Wimbledon actually got off to kind of a controversial start. Nike, Nike-sponsored female players, they complained that the dresses that were designed for them were too short. They almost look like a lingerie baby doll, if you will. It's had that comparison. Some of the girls were tying headbands around their waist to help keep it down, and it's really just been this strange controversy. They meant well, but it didn't have the best impact at Wimbledon to start.
Wow. Speaking of not having good impacts, I just happened to be watching a video of this kid, Victor Troicki, who had this huge meltdown and, as Deadspin reports, throws insane hissy fit at a Wimbledon umpire. I'll just throw that out there for the listeners if they want to look up this guy's meltdown at Wimbledon.
I'll be looking it up, too.
Miss Teen USA, what's going on there? This is a switch from the bikini competition, right?
Exactly. A switch from the bikini competition that has actually for a while been criticized because the participants are usually between the ages of 15 and 19. A lot of people have said that it's, that it exploits them. And so they're taking away the bikini portion and they're replacing it with an athletic wear modeling portion of the competition. So lots of people wanting to know, will Miss USA drop the swimsuit competition? Why did Team USA drop it? How many years has Miss Teen USA been going on? And also wanting to know if Donald Trump still runs the pageant.
All right, so athletic wear, that's like sports bras, yoga pants, I'm guessing, things along those lines. And suddenly that's not exploiting women?
We'll have to wait and see what it entails, whether it's shorts and a top that covers the midriff, or whether they have the freedom to choose their own. So still a lot to wait and see there.
This is weird. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler about what we've been searching for the most online. Obviously, Game of Thrones, too.
I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. You know this about me, Gordon. And so the season 6 finale, it brought people to Google for more information, people looking for some of the bombshells. Jon Snow's parentage, I won't divulge anything there, but lots of people coming to Google for clarity, wanting to know who is Jon Snow's mother, who is Jon Snow's father. Those were two of the top trending questions that we saw around the Game of Thrones season finale.
I know you often mention that there are specific questions that people search for with regards to these topics that are trending. And I see that 4th of July made the list. Please tell me people aren't asking when the 4th of July is.
I will tell you, when is the 4th of July is the top 5 trending question on 4th of July this past week.
Was there something indicating that it might have been moved to September this year, for example?
Why people were searching this. I'm hoping they were searching for the day of the week,
okay,
and that was the meaning behind the question. But when is the 4th of July? Definitely one of the top trending questions, along with why do we celebrate 4th of July? People wanting to know, what do you do on 4th of July? Things like that. And also, is 4th of July a national holiday? Those were some of the trending questions. But yes, when is 4th of July also trending on Google?
Oh, boy. So if the searches are, when is 4th of July and what is the 4th of July for, Google should have some clever response to that. You remember like the whole weapons of mass destruction response that came up at one point? Like that there should be something clever that Google throws out if somebody asks, what does July 4th mean or something?
You know what, Gordon? We are going to take that under advisement. That's great.
Let me play this clip from this popular video. Last week tonight with John Oliver, the Brexit update.
The Brexit vote has boosted its two most vocal backers, Nigel Farage, leader of the UK Independence Party and 3-time cover model for Punchable Face magazine, and Boris Johnson, a shaved orangutan with Owen Wilson's hair.
Wow, how about that clip?
That's right. John Oliver really kind of getting into the Brexit update, following the news that we saw last week. This video, it has over 3.5 million views on YouTube and counting, and you can always count on him for a really funny and clever take on whatever news topic is going around.
Very good. Nina, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Happy July 4th to you, by the way. Happens to be in July this month for Google searchers who need to know that. It's 12 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us, and a good Friday to you. It is 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, images have emerged that are believed to be of the three men who are suspected of launching an attack on Istanbul's Ataturk airport, killing 44 people and injuring more than 200. One image shows three men as they walk into the airport Tuesday night, with one carrying what appears to be a duffel bag, and the two other men are seen wearing baseball caps. Donald Trump has begun formally vetting prospective vice presidential picks. The New York billionaire is considering former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, among what he previously described as a shortlist to possible running mates. U.S. service members will no longer face the risk of being discharged or denied reenlistment for being transgender. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter says the ban on transgender service members is over, effective immediately.
What I heard from the transgender service members I met with overwhelmingly was that they don't want special treatment. They want to be held to the same standards and be treated like everybody else.
The move comes shortly after the force ended a ban on women serving in certain combat roles. A fatal accident in which the driver of a Tesla Model S car operating in autopilot mode was killed in a collision with a truck has prompted an investigation by federal highway safety regulators. The probe of the first known fatality to involve a self-driving car comes as automakers gear up to offer systems that allow vehicles to pilot themselves. More potential upheaval in the music industry is the Wall Street Journal's reporting that Apple's in talks to acquire rap mogul Jay-Z's Tidal streaming music service. Should a deal occur, it would radically reshape an online music market in which Apple Music trails market leader Spotify. When it comes to a global ranking of well-being, we aren't doing too well. The U.S. has dropped to 19th in the Social Progress Index, which evaluates countries on their ability to provide water and shelter, well-being measures such as health and education, and opportunity measures of equality and personal rights. The U.S. gets poor marks for obesity, a high homicide rate, traffic fatalities, and unequal access to higher education. Finland tops the list, followed closely by Canada and Denmark.
Yikes, 19th.
Yeah, not so good.
Come on.
Not good.
God bless the USA on this July 4th.
We are a fat nation.
We are fat. Oh, my goodness. Look at you. No, I'm just kidding. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Jen's like gym rat.
Wow.
That just never sticks on her. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Any athlete knows the importance of a good stretch for competitive eaters. Their sport is no exception, except the stretch in this scenario, of course, is for the stomach. Ahead of the men's hot dog eating contest at Nathan's Famous in Coney Island, Brooklyn, 8-time champion Joey Chestnut drinks a mix of water and milk in the morning, almost a gallon of each. He tells AM New York that he kept a fasting routine 3 days before last year's contest, but this year he's only fasting for a day and a half.
Train a little bit less. I had to give more recovery time in between because I'm older. My metabolism's not as fast. I'm not going to be able to eat a hot dog and do a hot dog practice every third day. I'm doing it every fourth or fifth day.
The 32-year-old native of San Jose, California, has shed nearly 25 pounds since January, by the way. Before Mr. Chestnut and Matt Stoney battle it out in the men's competition, Mickey Sudo will be looking to defend her title in the women's category against former champion Sonia Thomas. This year, the hot dog eating contest on Monday is celebrating its 100th anniversary. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.